Good morning. Great to be here, indeed. Glad to look out and see your faces. I missed them, for sure, while I was gone, while Gene and I were gone. And it's good to come back and feel the, the particular delight and pleasure of being home. And that doesn't mean home out on the right road necessarily. That means home here. Home with the family of God, my family, and our family together. Just good to be back and to be able to come here and do what we've done so many times over so many years that I've been here. And find ourselves exercising toward the praise and, so appropriately now, the giving of thanks to a God where we'll always be behind. We'll never get caught up on all of the thanksgiving He is due from us and all of the praise that He deserves from us. We'll just keep doing it and enjoy never getting caught up, because it's fun to never end that exercise of the heart and the spirit. Glad to be here with you today. Come back. I could spend this entire period talking about the trip. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go into all those stories. Jean said to express her thanks for the prayers and all other communications that have come in to her in the passing of her sister. That was a difficult experience for us, for her particularly, and so all the kindnesses that have been shown and expressed are appreciated deeply and greatly. Please know that. And as I said, I'm not going to spend all the time giving you a trip report. We'll get at least 16, 17 sponsors that I know about from this trip, and there should be others. I mean, people, they take a form and say, "Oh yeah, I want to sponsor one of those kids for sure. Let me have one of your forms." And I've learned over my years of doing this that they're good people. They really mean it. But they go home and they lay it down, and in about a month or two, it gets tossed in the garbage because they forgot. And they just don't do it. So I've tried to have some techniques to get past that and have succeeded to some degree. But there'll still be a lot of that. But there'll be some other forms that'll come in. I'm sure of that. One church secretary promised me I'll call her if she doesn't send hers. It's coming one way or the other. So, good trip indeed, and it's been a fruitful time. It's back to about a month since I started on my trip down to West Virginia, and then this trip, and over that period of time, I know there'll be 36 or 37 sponsors, and that's just God at work and doing things that no other person could ever do. I fumble and fall on my face and stumble when I'm away from here as much as I do when I'm here, so I don't get any credit at all. He does what He does, and it is a wonderful thing, and He gets the praise and the thanksgiving. I won't tell you the other stories. There's lots of them. I'll tell you the story of watching my brother-in-law shoot an alligator crawling across his yard. I won't tell you the story of my brother-in-law also shooting a rattlesnake out behind the pond, and he took me back there on his little four-wheeler. Those stories will get another time. I don't have time for those right now. I won't tell you the story of going to the Melody Hill Church of Christ. That is an interesting story. I don't know if they'll ever invite me back or anything. The handout sheet was on, quote, "What's wrong with the Baptists?" I don't really want to tell you about that. It was awful. I told the teacher at one point, "Please be gentle. I used to be a Baptist." Oh man, you hate to run into so badly misguided people within what's called the Restoration Movement. But they're there. They're good people. They're just misguided. Anyway, it was a great trip. Good to be home. And good to just dig back into what we do here. And that's hold up Christ for honor and praise. Review with each other how precious He is, and try to dig, as we did in Bible class. I like our Bible. I compare our Bible classes to classes elsewhere, and it's like black and white. It's totally different. It's like light on, light off. It is wonderful to be here where people think. They read God's Word carefully, very careful not to let things be pumped into our minds and brains that are wrong, by an endeavor to hear what He is saying. What are His thoughts? He's trying to put in my heart, in my mind. What are they? And we dig for that here. I run into places where there's not a whole lot of digging in that department that go on. But it's good to be here. My main question for today's lesson is this. Is there something so incredibly great about being a Christian, about the Christian life, life as a Christian, that even we still struggle to get our minds around it, let it affect who we are and how we think and how we feel inside? And maybe something so wonderful that only a few believers ever really get it anywhere near its fullness. Is there something that great that you, and still me, may have never gotten? It's so great, it's too wonderful to think about. It's so wonderful that it would stagger you in mind and in breath if it really hit you. Is there something that good about being a Christian? Or is it just humdrum, we do this, it's not very exciting. In fact, we have some exciting things we do. We dash off to this and dash off. We're excited about that. But this is just, is that backwards in terms of its reality if we got it? And I maintain it is. There's nothing to compare with what you and I together have bought for us by Jesus right here in this ecclesia, this association, this household of God, this His people. Nothing compares to that on the face of this planet. Amen. And if I have or still think there is, poor Earl, he's just not yet there. He hasn't gotten his mind around it yet. It's that great. In Acts chapter 5, verse 20, are these words. Step right into that scene with me. That is a few days after Pentecost when 3,000 people said yes to God about Jesus and became family of God together there in Jerusalem. Now by this time, they have started creating a stir. Things in Jerusalem are all wrought up. The Sadducees are having what they used to call in the South a hissy fit. They are disturbed and angry. And they are opposing this new thing called Christianity as fully as they can. And so what they've done is have the apostles. They've already previously arrested Peter and John. And now they arrest all 12 of them because they won't quit talking about this Jesus. And they've turned the whole city upside down, so says the Sadducees and the other scribes, the high priests. And so they put him in jail. Well, God just promptly waltzes down to the jail, sends his angel down there, the angel of God, and opens the doors and lets them out and has one message for them. And you're reading it. The angel said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And that's my sermon today. That's the center of it. This life. I maintain that I ran into some people while I was gone, and I hope none here, who don't have a clue, have never let their minds research into what is this life. Has that escaped me? Whatever it is what they were supposed to go back to the temple and tell people all about, all the words of this life. And that's a strange thing. What if you go back and tell them what Peter said? You got to repent and be baptized. Well, that's good. 3,000 were. He'd already spent a whole sermon leading up to that, however, coming to the conclusion, leading them to the conclusion that this Jesus whom you crucified was the Messiah, Lord and Christ. And that's what cut their hearts. But what he tells them to go back now to the temple and teach is this life. I don't know what that means. I want us to talk about that. This is actually in Jerusalem and has the potential to be for us today an electrically alive. I come across that electrical word in my reading somewhere, and I like that word. Things that are electrically alive, you get the idea of having some electricity run through you. They are fired up. Well, it's electrically alive in Jerusalem for the Christians. Scripture says just prior to this, great grace was upon them. Well, it didn't. That faucet didn't get turned off. It's still here at this place. Great grace is upon us. That needs searching. That needs fathoming out. Jesus Himself. Is there something so incredibly great that is seldom discovered? And if it's discovered a little bit, most of it never gets discovered, even by believers like us. I maintain, yes, it's there. The process of getting older is an interesting thing. If you keep searching the things of God. And I'm doing that more than I ever have in my whole life. And it's exciting. It's exciting indeed. Jesus Himself said one time, no one, now listen to this, and don't get caught up in trivia. I go to Bible classes and we get taught up in trivia. I spent a whole class, sometime or the other, I remember. Well, I'll tell you about it when I get through reading it. Here's the scripture. No one who has left home, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or fields for me, Jesus said, and the gospel, will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present time. He'll get on later in the scripture to talk about the eternal future. He's talking about now. Receiving 100-fold now. In this present time. And homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. He gets around to that. But he's talking about now in the first part of this. And I remember being in a class where this scripture was caught up, and the big question was, why does he list Father in the early part of this, but when he comes down in this present time, he lifts fathers out and lists all the others? I don't know. Who cares? Maybe because God is now their Father and doesn't need to be listed. I don't know. Doesn't matter. That is not the essence of this passage. In this present time, 100 times as much. You'll receive that if you've turned your back on all this other stuff. May have been coming at you through your mother, your father, your sisters, your house, or whatever. You turned your back on that for me. You lost that. You're going to get 100-fold more. Believe that. If you do, it's exciting. It's for this present time. Now, will it extend on into eternity through eternal? Yes. But we don't have to wait. I'll sure be glad when eternity gets here and Jesus comes. Maybe my life will get better. It can get better now. It's that exciting now. And we need to get that. So that we don't get in these ruts that have no attraction. And we travel down a rut. Congregations that I've been to over the past period of time are losing their young people. You know why? Because their adults are walking down a rut that has nothing to offer, is not exciting, and in no way is attracting the kids. That's sad. Not here. Jesus said also, I have come that they may have life. Might that be this life that the angel told those apostles in Acts chapter 5 to go teach in the temple? This life? I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. It sounds like he's talking about something that maybe many people have never gotten. They've just assumed, yeah, I've read this before. I know it's in the Bible. And I read the Bible every day. Don't get a thing out of it, but I read it. That's just sad. In now, have it to the full, the life that he's talking about. Is there something to discover, Earl, that maybe you spent a whole pack of your life assuming there was nothing to discover, and so you didn't get it? Yeah, I think so. Why haven't more believers found it? You could theorize a lot of things. Maybe because people are just stuck, mesmerized by all that junk that comes to us from the outside world. It comes at us through our TV. I mean, there are more exciting things on TV, that at least they try to present it as exciting, than we try to present here. I watch game shows. Do you ever watch a game show? Some poor sap has won a washing machine. And she can't keep her feet on the ground. She's dancing around. She's excitement emanating, exuding everywhere. I don't even walk in and look at my washing machine. I'm not excited. What this world throws at us has mesmerized us into thinking how this world thinks, to point we don't look at anything inside Christianity, what Jesus put here, as this life exciting, abundant, full. I came that you might have life and have it to the full. It can't get any better than that. The world can't offer you anything any better. It won't even get close to offering that much. And yet it leads us around by the nose to this little ditzy thing and that little ditzy thing and this little hoopla. And we follow. We got to get smarter than that, folk. There's something to be found that many of us still need to find a lot of, including me. Find it all of that. The more I find, the more I realize, I'm just getting started. It is incredible how big it is. Listen for this. This life that the apostles were told to go teach, expressed in thoughts from God that say, yes, there is something wonderful to find. And you'll never find it all. It's too big, too great, too wonderful. It is there. Everything that once was gained for me. Paul, God wanted us to hear Paul saying this. I wanted you to hear. So we'd get it. Everything that once was gained to me, I now consider a loss. The old stuff I used to think was the way, what life's all about. It just thrills me. It just lights me up. Just relieves my load. It revives me. And then look at what that junk is. Everything that once was gained to me, I consider a loss because of Christ. He's the reviver. Nothing can match him. More than that, I consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value. It's like you're the Holy Spirit struggling with language to speak the words that will get it through. Surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things. And I like this translation, Christian Standard Bible. I count them as filth so that I may gain Christ. Now that is stark contrast. Focusing on something that is great and calling that which many people, maybe some of us, still follow around chasing after it, filth. The next verse says, no, that's not the next verse. Well, this is another verse. This is Paul again, and this time to the Ephesians. And he says, he's praying that according to the riches of God's glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner man. You ever get that? Has that ever occurred a little bit with you? Strengthened with his Spirit in the inner self, the center of you, the most you that you can be, the very basic you. Strengthened there, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, it's in there. You got to put roots in it. It's down. May have the power to comprehend. He's trying to say there's some stuff to comprehend, Earl. You won't get it by perusal reading. With all the saints, what is the breadth and height and length and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. You'll never get it all, Earl. It's too big. Are you discovering it? Is it still something you're digging into? Is it enriching your life? Is it lifting you up? Is it reviving you? And you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is huge. How big is God? Now the verse that I did reference that I didn't put up there. Now to him who by the power at work within us. We're looking at exciting stuff. I've always just, this verse takes me into, I just drift off and say, what on earth is this? And I, not just recently, but throughout my Bible reading career, I've paused on this verse. Who by the power at work within us. God's put a power in there if you're his child. And it wants to work unless I thwart it. Unless I hinder it. That power is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. To him be glory in the church. It just breaks out with a shout of praise because of what he just said and the power at work within us that's so big. It's far bigger than we can ask or think. That's big stuff. That's exciting. Match it up. with a game show and see how it comes out, or anything else the world offers. It's just not going to match. So we're going to proceed, at least in this little short time here today, on the assumption that there is something so incredibly great about being a Christ, in Christ, about the Christian life, about life in Christ, that is absolutely wonderful, and that all of us probably are still struggling to discover it, so it becomes the charger for our life. But it's there. We're going to assume that. I am personally convinced this life is what the angel of God sent the apostles back to the temple after they were arrested to tell people about this life. So what is it? And in today's world, we've got to get to the point where we at least review what it is not. What is not what he's talking about? The apostles were not standing in the temple telling people how to gain wealth and it'll make you happy. Or greedily live it up, doing anything you want. It'll just lift your life. They were not going back to the temple to tell people that, like the sinful, the willfully sinful people do. May that not be any of us. This life is not getting hooked, mesmerized on what the world touts, proclaims, gets excited about. Such a message would have been a stark betrayal of Jesus himself. He couldn't be clearer or plainer. Don't love the world or the things that belong to the world. There's like 5 times in this short passage where he talks about the world. He's putting our attention away now from this wonderfully great thing and looking at the world. It says, no, don't pursue these things. Don't love these things. Don't look to them for the answer to what will make your life bright and happy and good. Quit it. Don't do that. If anyone loves the world, what did I do there? I didn't touch it, by the way. See, what if I touch it? What it does do? Nothing. Okay. I think it's dead, but that's all right. We'll get by without it. So if it's not this sort of life, what was it? They were told by God to go stand in the temple and tell people about this life. What was it? This life is living as God intended it. Far, far above want. The TV commercials, the world around us, try to stimulate want in us. Oh, I don't have X, whatever X is, the washing machine, or whatever else they're putting on the TV screen or wherever. I don't have that. I wish I had it. And I'll be in want until I get it. That's what the world will do to you if you let it. I'll be in want. Our brothers and sisters in Acts chapter 2 had no want. Isn't that neat? Back to scripture that I was going to put up here says, great grace was upon them all. Acts chapter 5 verse 34 was upon them all. And there was not a needy person among them. Isn't that great? How'd you like to live in a situation like that? We have it, in essence, here. It's not really important how they did this. A lot of people get cold. They had all things common. They brought all their property in. They sold their lands. That's just how they did it. It's what they did that matters. You know what they did? They looked after each other. That's what they did. There were a lot of people there who had nothing. They came in from far away. They had nothing. Now we're a family. And we have discovered something this beautiful. This life they've already learned about. And now they're living it. They were together. They were together doing things that were Christian by nature. And they got everything they need as far as possessions is concerned. Who cares? Let's just put it all together. We'll have it together. That's how they did it. We have it too. This congregation, over the years, I've learned that we do a fairly good job of taking care of each other. We pray for each other. There are people in this congregation right now who have serious situations. If you're unemployed or if you're sick or if you've lost a loved one, the problems are just multiple. We don't just say, oh, that's so sad. I hope you get better. We take care of each other. We pray. We reach out. We do. I think we've caught a little of that spirit here. We're a group of people where everybody matters. And if there is a need, a want, we rally to it. I hope we get better and better at it. That's the nature of the people of God. They were post-faith, post-repentant, and baptism, household of God. And they were living it up. Nobody needed a thing. The psalmist said, I shall not want. In the famous 23rd Psalm, he's being led by the shepherd. That shepherd is here. He's yours, he's mine, he's the shepherd of this congregation. He has four little shepherds here that are pathetically wandering around trying to see if they're doing the right thing. But he is the shepherd. And he said, the psalmist said, he's my shepherd. I don't want. I don't need anything. I've got what I need. What's to want? If the Father, Creator, Maker of the universe loves you, nothing. Absolutely nothing. If God's for us, who can be against us? Says God to the Romans. Romans 8. He did not spare his own son. He didn't even hold back Jesus, his own son. But gave him up for us all. So will he not also give us everything else? That's a rhetorical question. Yes, he will. Such people don't have wants. They're within the community where they share together, take care of each other, and the shepherd takes care of them. This life that they were to teach is life in close contact with the giver of life. That is life indeed. Remember what the apostle went and taught in Athens? Paul's in Athens, running into all kind of opposition there. Listen, people who don't get it, like many people don't get it today. He said to them, God himself gives to all people life and breath and everything else. Acts chapter 17, verse 25. So Paul so further taught, you and I should seek God in the same time, same sermon. You and I should seek God in expectant hope so that we might feel after him and find him. Yet he's not far from any one of us. And he's looking at that close contact with God that will be this life the apostles were supposed to tell people about in the temple all the way back to Acts chapter 5. All these thoughts from God suggest that there is something to find and have and live and experience that many people never do. That's more exciting than anything else that exists on this planet put together by human beings. More exciting than all of that. 12 apostles, told by an angel, go teach this life. Could you awaken to his grace in a new fashion? Maybe go a little deeper. That this life, in more and more proportion as God gives it, might be yours. You can. I know you can. What is it? Closeness to God. Fellowship with his people, his church, his household, where he put it. Maybe it's visiting old places like I did on my trip. Places where I grew up. Schoolyard where I played baseball. Walked around on it. It's still there. And remembering life God was giving me all the way back then. And getting nothing from me. Watching him over me playing baseball. Getting nothing. And now looking back. And just appreciating it. Like I should have been. Maybe that's this life. Maybe that's how you arrive there. Maybe it's remembering all the years we've had here at Holiday Park. In this church family. Not letting them pass. Oh, that's gone. That's no big deal. Yes, it is. It's God's grace played out over years for this body of people. Where he hovered over us like a shepherd. And watched and blessed over and over again. So many people now, either in the land beyond or moved on, who were precious here among us just like we are today. God was blessing us in their lives and with their fellowship during all these times. So many precious things we've done and do together. Worship assemblies like this one, classes like the one we had today and our children had today. Events like so many that are too many to miss. I'll never get over in his time collapsing I'll never get over that. I still love it. It was part of my history now. That was a beautiful time. I remember coming here. And they'd be downstairs over in the old auditorium practicing. And I'd go over there and just soak it up. That's blessed life here among us. So much. So many things. Farewell gatherings like we did for Curtain Dawn. How many of those are back there? Don't leave them go. They're part of who we are. Funerals. Precious times. Cried together. That's us. That's this life among people who have Christ in their life and who have found something dear. Nothing to compete with it. New Year's Eve gatherings, trunk or treat, for Pete's sake. We're still having wonderful things. Precious baptisms, so many things. I remember when Mike and Shauna finally came back after all their rambling around to Pepperdine and Russia and wherever else it was. Precious times. Our people. Births. We got them running around everywhere. We only have one or two, I think. Now I can't even remember how many were still coming. We usually have had some all the time. History played out here by the grace of God, where this life, there's anything better than that. Among people who care. Among people who are dear one to another. As God tenderly watched, lovingly still does, over us as it all pours out. That's this life. Abundantly more. Life above what other people have watching game shows or whatever else. Maybe all this life that they talked about, that God wanted them to teach and preach, was just another chapter. God and His children living life out together here on the planet in His fashion. Last story I'll tell you. While I was gone, I visited my mom's grave. I always do. Little cemetery called Crossroads Church Cemetery. I don't think they've had a service in that church in years and years and years. It's still standing there, but the little cemetery is still there. So I walked out there and walked around my mom's grave for a while and just kind of reminisced. Dropped a few tears on the ground. Looking off across the cemetery just a little way, there was another old guy there doing about the same thing I was. Today's world would say, can it get any more boring than that? Two old geezers walking around a cemetery? Can it get any more boring than that? It wasn't boring. Finally walked over to him. His name was Mr. Michael Copeland. Never met Mr. Michael Copeland before. I didn't get his age, but he might have been a little older than me. Not sure. We struck up a little conversation, met and just exchanged greetings and told each other who each other was a little bit. And he finally said to me, Mr. Wilkerson, he was a member of some church, obviously a very spiritual guy. Mr. Wilkerson, this world is filled with people who are asleep. They're just walking around in the fog. They don't see very clearly. They don't understand anything. They don't even dig to understand. They're just walking along in the fog. And they treat cemeteries like this as trash containers. They bring their trash out here and put it in, and for the most part, they don't come back. They don't even come back. All the blessed times. With loved ones they buried here, they just walk away from. Scrap it. Like forgotten trash. and chase after a world of useless trivia. That's what they do. And he said, "Sir, I've come to realize I'm a rich man. I can't walk away. I come back here and relive it." It isn't unhappy. It isn't miserable. It's delightful. It's holding on to the life. Wonderful grace of God that He was giving. Probably more thankful now than then. I shared with Mr. Copeland about driving by the last old house. That Jean and I lived in down in Valdosta, out on the north side of town. I rode by it. Decided I'm going to stop. And I did. Went up, knocked on my door. There was nobody home. So I just sat down on the porch in a chair, kind of hoping they wouldn't come home. And just relived. In my mind, I could see our kids playing in the yard, chasing our old dog, Cindy. Dumber dog never lived. 13 puppies on Christmas Eve day. Watching them throw frisbees. Ride the old bikes that Dad renovated. Christmas time, I can't afford new bikes. So I found some at a junk store that were virtual throwaways. And I renovated them and painted them. And there they are as I sat there. Riding those old bikes. Precious times. Did I give thanks for them enough back then? No. Would I take $1 million for the memories today? No. This life, rich, precious, all at the giving hands of God. And what we have here today, this assembly, and all the associations we have with each other will file themselves into the history of our life, and may God help us that they stay dear, not lost. May God help us be His children. Seek that closeness with Him that Paul told the Athenians about. Seek after Him. Try to find Him. It's wonderful. It's greater than you can ask or think. It's greater than the world knows. Yes! There is something about life as a Christian that's so much better than most ever discover, because the world gets them to look at this and that and they don't see it, that we can still make up our minds. I'm going to find it. He said it's here. Let me find it. Are you ready today to look afresh, review, renew, and let the richness of all that Christ meant to do for us here in this time, 100-fold now, be found by you? If you are, come to that blessed shepherd of all souls, and certainly yours, as we sing.